This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. I was reading about a guy in Tennessee who won a $1 million lottery. He bought a ticket on March 10th for a lottery in Tennessee. He went home after he bought the ticket. He woke up the next morning on March 11th and he checked the Tennessee lottery app on his phone, and he discovered that he won
$1 million.
It was actually $1,178,746. His name is Nick Slatton, and he lives in Sparta, Tennessee. Quote, "I was stunned. I couldn't believe it," he said. "I can't express it in words. It was something else." He said he rushed to his fiancée, Michelle. He rushed over to where she works. He said he spent the rest of the day running errands, including taking his brother to an O'Reilly auto parts store. But about an hour later, he said he realized he didn't have the ticket anymore. No, no, no. Quote, "I couldn't find it anywhere," he said. He said he retraced his steps and pulled into the auto parts store parking lot, where he saw the ticket on the ground next to the driver's side door of another vehicle. "It's a $1 million ticket, and someone stepped right over it," he said. Tennessee Lottery says it encourages players to sign their ticket right after they buy it. I mean, most people who regularly buy lottery tickets, it's just a part of their day, like they change underwear. They go into the store, they buy the lottery ticket, and then they leave the store. But most people don't sign the ticket as soon as they buy it, Coleman.
I think so, because when I see people buy lottery tickets, it's a whole culture. They have their own little Ziploc bag with the lotto brand on it, and like, this guy has an app. I didn't even know they had an app for it. So the people that get into this lottery tickets and the scratch off, it's a whole culture for them.
Have you ever seen anyone like where when you're in a store, mm-hmm. Whether it's a gas station, a convenience store, and you see someone buy a lottery ticket, do you ever see someone sign it? I can't.
Not in the store, but I'm quite sure they do, because they also have the machines. They come in and they unzip their little fanny pack with the lottery stuff in it, and they scan it on this thing, and they get whatever, $3, $4, $5, whatever they get back. Then they use that money to buy more lottery tickets. I've seen it. You know, I go to the gas station every day, so it's the whole lottery ticket. It's a culture. I might buy a lottery ticket today when I pass by the billboard and I saw how much the Mega Millions and the Powerballs are. It's up to about $200 million right about now.
You go to the gas station every day. What do you do every day at the gas station?
I get gas because of my night job. I'm always delivering, and I spend a lot of money on gas.
So you get gas every day?
I get gas. I have to get gas.
I guess that's right. You do deliver those chicken wings.
That's why I'm always complaining about people begging me for money, because it's an everyday thing for me. It's not like every now and then, like most people. But since I deliver at night, I have to go to the gas station every night, and I always get begged for change every night.
Your second job over there delivering food on the West Bank. So that's right. You do fill up every day. Do you fill up every day?
No, I just put enough to finish the work shift. If I filled up, I'd be broke.
Well, the Tennessee Lottery says it encourages lottery players to sign their ticket after purchase to identify it as theirs and to help prevent someone else from cashing it in the event that it is lost or stolen. This guy that we've been talking about, his ticket is one of five sold in Tennessee this month to be worth at least $1 million, according to the lottery officials there. Following the big win, Mr. Slatton, and he said he and his fiance will continue to work, but they also plan on buying a home, better vehicles, and will invest. He added that they hope on living life now with not a whole lot of worries. Sparta, Tennessee is 85 miles southeast of Nashville.
Because that's important.
Well, that's where he lived. You got a millionaire now living in that town. I never heard of Sparta, Tennessee. Did you?
No, I've heard of Sparta, where the Spartans from the 300 try to defend their home, but no. You know, I always think about what would happen if I was to win the lottery. And I know one of the first things I would do is not go put. I would try to make sure I'm anonymous. Nobody would know that I would win the lottery. That's number one. And two, it seems like when you actually, like the people that buy lottery tickets all the time, they kind of expect to win. So I guess the overall shock, like I'd imagine he'd be like, whoa, okay, I won. Like it expected. But he said it came as a complete surprise. But if I bought a lottery ticket every time they had a game, at some point, I would have to win, and I would expect it, right?
Well, this guy, look, he won, it wasn't a massive lottery, but $1,178,746. That's a nice addition to a bank account, especially after he lost the ticket for a little while and then found it again. So that was some experience for Nick Slatton of Sparta, Tennessee.
JH says, with gas prices going up, I'm going to need to win the lottery.
They are going up a lot, huh?
Yeah. Gee, I wonder what happened.
I see a lot of people say, are you happy we got a new president? Look at the gas prices going up. I've seen a lot of that. Well, anyways, I just thought that was an interesting story.
If you won the lottery, would you go public and like be on a TV with the big ass check and all that, saying I wouldn't want nobody to know, man.
No, I'd be because
now
quiet.
That, you know, everybody in Sparta is gonna bother this guy now because they know his first
and
last
night.
Yeah,
look at the story. There's the picture of him standing with the big ass check, like you said.
Now they know how he looks, dude. He's gonna get harassed.
And I mean, it was only just a few days ago. I mean, he bought the ticket on March 10th, which is today.
I could imagine
the 23rd?
All of his high school ex-girlfriends calling him, hey, how you been?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be like this guy. I'd be very, very quiet. And I'd wear a lot larger mask, not just over my mouth, but probably over my whole face and head. All right, we have a lot to get to on the show today. Hang out with us. Starting this afternoon, there's going to be some bad weather for the next couple of days. That's what they're that's what they're saying. Hopefully the sewage and water board here in New Orleans, all the pumps and everything, hopefully they all can handle it. Usually it only has to rain for a little while for it to flood. They're saying it's going to be some heavy rains over the next 2 days starting this afternoon. It's Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And it looks like today we're going to get some really bad weather, some storms, some heavy rain. And they're saying it's going to last for 2 days. The weather experts are saying starting today in the afternoon, the weather's going to get bad. We're going to have a lot of rain, a lot of wind, storms, and it's supposed to last until Thursday. And because of that, there was supposed to be a 24-hour vaccine event at the Shrine on Airline. It was going to be a vaccination fest. Sure, we've had Jazz Fest postponed. We've had French Quarter Fest postponed. But vaccination fest was supposed to happen, but because of the weather, that too is going to be postponed. With the threat of severe weather, a few mass vaccination sites are making changes. If you were planning to get your vaccine Wednesday and Thursday at the Ochsner and Jefferson Parish 24-hour drive-through vaccine fest, they're calling these festivals now, you will have to wait just a few more days because severe weather is forecast. That event is now scheduled for next week, for next Monday and Tuesday. This will be at the Shrine on Airline and is the largest COVID-19 mass vaccination event so far in Louisiana. You just can't show up, though. You got to make an appointment. This is a 24-hour in a row drive-through vaccination deal, and it was supposed to get going this week, but now because of this weather that's moving in, it's going to be 10 a.m. Monday until 10 a.m. Tuesday. It's going to be 24 hours straight, nonstop. You just drive up to the Shrine on Airline, and you get your shot. It's all It's all drive-through, but you got to make an appointment.
I'm trying to figure out who's making an appointment for 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning, since it's 24 hours. Who's showing up to get their vaccine at 2 a.m. in the morning? Because, you know, most bars close at 11 p.m., so people go straight home after that. So who's up at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. saying, you know what, I think I'll go ahead on and schedule my vaccine for 2:15 a.m. in the morning?
Well, that would probably be a good time to go, Coleman, because because out of all the hours of the day, that's probably the 3 a.m., probably the least amount of people that you'll have to deal with. But again, that was supposed to be going on tomorrow and Thursday at the Shrine. But because of the inclement weather coming in, that is now Monday starting at 10 a.m., until Tuesday at 10 a.m., 24 hours straight. Call and get an appointment. Coleman and I, we haven't gotten our shots yet. I don't know if we're eligible. I think I might have become eligible last week because I do have type 2 diabetes. I got that a few years ago.
I think, I know people around my age that have gotten a vaccination. I don't know if it's because of the profession that they work in or whatnot.
Are they overweight?
No. No. One's an educator, I believe. She was probably 30, and my other friend got a vaccination. She's 40. So I think I don't know what made her eligible to get it. She's not overweight, though. But I did go to the gas station, and the cashier asked me if I was vaccinated. I said, no, I don't think I'm old enough. She said, no, they lowered the age. I think almost anyone can get it now. So there may be some updates to that. I have to check it out.
It's not quite everyone yet that they're saying that's coming up soon. But it's for people over 60 years old, and then people with all kinds of health problems. And then they list the health problems. We don't have time on this show to read the list of all the different health problems. But basically, if you have anything wrong with you or you're fat, you're overweight.
But even if I did, I wouldn't go at 2 a.m. in the morning. No. I think that's reaching a little bit. But I may be wrong. We'll see what happens. Well, next week after the bad weather.
Yeah, well, that was supposed to be tomorrow and Thursday, the 24-hour vaccination festival. The Vax Fest on Airline Highway at the Shrine. But that has been moved because of the inclement weather that's starting this afternoon. That's been moved to next Monday to Tuesday. That's pretty wild though, huh? 24 hours straight. And even though they're calling it a festival, they're calling it a fest, the vaccination fest. Don't bring any alcohol or,
no,
you're not supposed to get out of your car. Don't bring your portable chairs or anything like that. You're supposed to drive in, get your shot, and then drive out.
All right. It says your bread man can stop on the way, or your work beer man can do it while they're en route. Vendors, you know, I guess jobs of that nature, people that stock vending machines and stuff like that, they're usually up around that time. That's true.
Well, Coleman, you and I could get up a little bit earlier and just shoot over there, get our shot, and then come and do the morning radio show.
Yeah, but they say you get drowsy after the first shot, so I think it'd be detrimental to the show if we get our shot, then come try to do the show while we're lethargic.
So we should get our shots after the show?
Maybe.
I mean, we've done shots after the show before.
Yes.
Different type. So that's that, and be careful over the next couple of days, because they said the storms are moving in this afternoon, and they're expecting the storms to last for 2 days until Thursday. So just be careful. That's tough. And I know, look, this last year with coronavirus has been the worst year in most of our lives. For some people, though, it hasn't. But for the majority of people, and I would raise my hand. Coleman, would you say the last year was the worst year of your life?
Yeah, but probably not for the same reasons. It was actually eye-opening to me that so many people were so willing to give up all of their freedoms. It was backwards world last year. You find out how far the government is willing to go and the measures that they take to prevent the spread of the virus and how people were just so willing, all the people that were fighting over whether you should wear a mask or not, the social distancing rules and all that, how they were so all over the place, you couldn't really tell what was what, how they were letting people out of jail because of COVID, but yet bringing people to jail because they didn't want to comply to COVID regulations. Last year was all crazy and bizarre. So it wasn't the worst year just because of the lockdowns. It was just the worst year to see different people's reactions and how the bottom of the barrel, when they get fested up because of the mass debate and all that. It was wild last year. Then yeah. It was an election year at that, so.
Yeah, the whole mask debate situation was something we'll never forget, all the mass debating going on. But it was the worst year for me. Because it was just living in the middle of a city, which I do here in New Orleans, and the city was basically closed down for much of the year. Just incredible. I mean, you really couldn't go out. You couldn't do anything. Everything was closed. It was, I never want to go through another year like that again. Ever. And now, here we are a year later, we've got people wearing two masks. We have people that have already been vaccinated wearing masks. And you know that when this is over, you're still going to see a lot of people wearing masks. I think there's a lot of people that have gotten used to wearing masks, and they're not going to take them off for a while.
Well, that's okay if that's their choice.
That's theater. That's what that is, according to Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. He says he thinks a lot of the mask wearing now is just pure theater. That's what he thinks, especially the people wearing two masks. Really? You're double masking it? All right. Coming up on the show, a couple of area longtime traditions are making headlines. I'm talking about a local beer and a local pie. They're both in the news for different reasons. Stay tuned for that. And Coleman. I was just reading the first city in the United States has agreed to start paying reparations for their black residents. Did you see that?
I think I came across the headline, but I didn't read it.
I mean, you're a black guy. I mean, would you like reparations?
I like to work for a living. I don't think anybody owes me anything. I was never a slave.
Stay tuned for those reports coming up on the show. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Countless stories have circulated over the centuries about how Genghis Khan died. But new research indicates that his cause of death was bubonic plague. So now, at long last, his finally can get closure. Finally, a little bit of closure for his family, huh? Jeez. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And yesterday, something we knew around here that was going to happen finally happened. Yesterday was the last day of Dixie beer. The beer that for so long was brewed right here in New Orleans. Dixie beer. And it was making a comeback a few years ago when Tom Benson and his wife Gail Benson bought it to add to their collection of businesses, the New Orleans Saints, the New Orleans Pelicans, they own a bunch of car dealerships and a bunch of other businesses, and they bought Dixie Beer too. And it looked like it was making a comeback, But because of the name Dixie and the fact that we are now in the year 2021, and the cancel culture and all of that, they said that they're going to change their name. And they ended up changing their name to Faubourg, which is the French word for neighborhood. It's spelled Faubourg. It's pronounced Faubourg. And that is how you say neighborhood in French. And so yesterday was the day that Faubourg officially replaced Dixie. And I got to be honest with you, there are a lot of people that are pissed off about that. But the term Dixie has been associated with slavery. And so that's why the Dixie Chicks aren't the Dixie Chicks anymore. Do they still call Dixie Cups Dixie Cups?
I wouldn't know.
Do you still whistle Dixie?
I wouldn't know.
Well, anyways, this was months in the making. The oldest brewery in New Orleans officially changed its name yesterday. Dixie Brewery is out. Faubourg Brewing Company is in. And the general manager of that business, Jim Birch. Hey, I've had Birch beer. Have you ever had Birch beer?
Never heard of it.
It's kind of like root beer.
Ah, no, I haven't heard of it.
I think it's pretty ironic that the general manager of the brewing company's last name is Birch. Anyways, Jim Birch said, quote, "The 73 neighborhoods in New Orleans are something special and unique to the city." And so that's why they ended up calling the beer Faubourg. They looked for a new name for 9 months. And
that's what they came up with, neighborhood?
Well, neighborhood in French. In French.
See, I think sales are going to go down just simply because it's harder to pronounce and it's a weirder word, Faubourg, compared to Dixie. If they have to change it, I would have went with the 73. Why not? You want to dedicate this beer to the 73 neighborhoods in New Orleans? Hey, give me a 73. I think 73 would have been the perfect name if they had to change it. But Faubourg doesn't sound like something that rolls off the tongue easily. Than Dixie.
When you go into your neighborhood establishment, you sit down at the bar, would you say, "Give me a couple of Faubourgs"?
It sounds Dixie just sounds better. Give me two Dixies. Then give me two Faubourgs.
You know, people don't like change. There's a lot of people who do not like change, and this change I know angered a lot of people.
I don't think people are angry at change. I think they're angry at the reason why they felt like it had to change. Some change is good. We know that. But this is one of those things where the change just seems unnecessary. It seems immature and dumb.
I always liked Dixie beer.
Right. Hopefully it tastes the same, but still.
It's the same. It's the same brew, they're saying.
Yeah.
Hey, text us. Does this bother you? Or are you cool with this, and are you looking forward to going and drinking a bunch of Faubourg?
Just drinking a bunch of Faubourg. I have a 73. Or give me a Dixie beer.
So and they've got the now forever. Dixie was brewed at the brewery on Tulane. But after Hurricane Katrina, it stopped being brewed there. Now over in New Orleans East, they've opened up a brand new sparkling facility. It was until yesterday, it was the new Dixie brewing facility over there. Now it's the Faubourg Brewing Company. But that's it's a beautiful new spot where they make that beer, where they brew that beer. And if you're listening right now, are you going to drink this? I mean, it's local. How many times do we always say buy local, support local businesses, shop local? Are you gonna drink this, or are you upset that they changed the name from Dixie to Faubourg? You could text us and let us know. 504-260-9595. Please do not text while you're driving. And keep it short. And if it's good, we'll read it coming up next. But yesterday, the end of an era. And today, the new era begins. Faubourg Brewing Company, the beer we formerly knew as Dixie. I'm getting thirsty. Are you talking about beer like this? Man, never too early. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And if you're just joining us, we were talking about an end of an era, because yesterday it became official as something that's been around since 1907 here in New Orleans. Just changed its name. Dixie Beer is no longer Dixie Beer. It is now Faubourg. That's the French word for neighborhood. And they've rebranded because the term Dixie is looked at by a lot of people as outdated, racist, and so Gail Benson, who owns it, they 9 months they were searching for a new name, and they came up with Faubourg.
That's really the shame that it took them 9 months to come up with that. Faubourg neighborhood. It took you 9 months to think of that? I could have did that in 3 hours.
Well, and yesterday was the official day that the last day of Dixie, and it is now officially Faubourg. And I asked you if you were listening, because there's a lot of people who don't like change. A lot of people are upset that the name went away. And I asked you to text us, is this something, are you pissed off too? Are you going to stay away from this? Or are you going to, because I like Dixie beer, and it's the same beer. It's just got a new name. It's Faubourg. Is this something you're going to drink or not? I asked you to text us.
This first text says, my husband stopped buying Dixie when they announced the stupid name change.
All right.
Diddy Kong says, I do think it's pretty frivolous, but not so much that I'm angry about it. You can call it crap for all I care. This text says, as a black man and a drink of Dixie beer, I feel like it was unnecessary and it's awkward. Ant says, the reason for the name change is stupid and immature and totally unnecessary. I won't drink Faubourg. Pass me a Slitz.
See, a lot of people feel that way. A lot of people are upset that they were pretty much forced to change their name. I mean, look, there's no more Dixie Chicks musical group, right? Mm-hmm. They're just, what are they now? Just the Chicks?
I believe so.
Isn't that sexist? I mean, they went from a name that some people consider racist, the name Dixie. I'm still wondering, are there still Dixie cups out there? Can we still drink out of Dixie cups? But that name is looked at very negative by a lot of people.
Yeah, but what upsets me is I guarantee you the people that were upset about the Dixie name being on the beer didn't even drink Dixie beer. Like, who's at a bar drinking a Dixie beer and looking at the logo saying, you know what, I really love the taste of this beer, but I just don't like this name staring back at me while they're trying to enjoy your beer. I don't think no logical person is doing that, going to a bar and complaining about the name of the beer that you enjoy, saying, you know what, I want to support this company, but I just can't stand the name of it, even though it tastes great. So they were forced to change their name, probably based on people who don't even drink the damn beer. So now the people that do drink the beer that are upset about the name change or the reason why they changed the name are going to stop buying the beer. So they're not even appeasing their original customers. They're losing out on customers without gaining new customers. Nobody's saying, you know what? I never wanted to have a Dixie, but now that they've changed their name, I'm going to give it a try. Nobody's saying that. I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent.
I just wanted to know how people feel.
Well, Billy says it doesn't bother me mainly because I stick to AB products. It's because I work at the AB distributor here in Homer.
All right.
The culture cancellation we live in now is emotionally exhausting. Life sucks. Wear a helmet and stop crying.
You could say that cancel culture took down at least the name of this beer.
This text says they should have kept the name Dixie. Are people who name Dixie going to change their name too? No way.
Well, it started again back in 1907 here in New Orleans. And for many, many, many years, it was brewed on Tulane Avenue. And then Hurricane Katrina came and it knocked it out for a while. Then the Bensons bought it and they were relaunching it. And now, you know, with the cancel culture, they changed the name. Now it's Faubourg. And they got that, they got the beautiful new facility over there in New Orleans East where they're brewing that beer. And if we're talking about something legendary here in New Orleans, I was just reading where we're getting very close to the return of Hubig's Pies.
Yeah! Woo!
Yes!
Woo!
Hubig's Pies haven't been around in a while. Remember, there was that fire at the Hubig's Pie building where they used to make the Hubig's pies. That was one of the best smelling fires I can ever remember. But Hubig's Pies, their building burnt back in the summer of 2012, and their building was in Faubourg, Marigny. And there haven't been Hubig's Pies since a little bit after that, because there were still some going around. There were still some out in the stores when their building burnt down. But so they've been out now almost 9 full years, and it looks like they're going to open up in a warehouse right near the Huey Long Bridge in Jefferson Parish. And they say that we're a month, maybe 2 months away from that. But they're keeping their name Hubig.
Good.
Hubig hasn't been canceled. You know, Hubig's Pies, they went into business in 1921. And I love those things. One of the reasons probably why a few years ago I got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, too many Hubig's Pies and things like them. But I love those suckers. And I was just reading how they're getting close. They're building a factory, and the people in charge said it's going to be soon when we start getting those beloved little hand pies. Are you a Hubig's Pie fan? You're not a big sweets guy.
No, I don't do sweets. I have more of a salt tooth than a sweet tooth. I do mostly potato chips, sunflower seeds, things like that.
Well, after 9 years in limbo, Hubig's Pies are almost back. So we lose the name Dixie Beer, which will now be Boberg Beer. But we're not losing Dixie Beer. We lost the name Dixie. But Hubig's Pies are returning. They don't have an exact timeline, but they're saying that give us in a matter of months. See, to me, apple pie is one of my favorite things in the world to eat. If they could infuse maybe protein and maybe something else, that's something that I could. I love apple pies, Coleman. I love blueberry pies too.
I've never had either. I don't eat pie that much. I'm not a sweets guy.
That's something. But they're in the final stretch to get Hubig's Pies back in business, and again, they're 1923 they started, and they've been making those pies.
So 2 more years would be what? 19? That's 100 years.
Yeah.
2023. Yeah.
Yeah. So well, we could say goodbye to Dixie and hello to Hubig's again. Such is life. You know, as you get older, you realize one of the few things that are consistent in life is change.
Right.
Things are always changing. Always. And a lot of times, people don't like that. They don't want to accept it. People, I guess, get set in their ways, and they don't want to change. They don't like things changing around them.
I disagree. I think people invite change. They just invite good change. No one wants to change for the worse, and sometimes it seems like things are changing for the worse. Like the Monopoly game. They're changing the Monopoly game because they said that the community chess cards are offensive. Well, that's a stupid change. But people embrace good change. If we're changing for the better, I think people will be all for good change. If we're changing for stupid, dumb, ignorant reasons, then people won't accept that. Like, I don't get why we have to change that. That's dumb. So it's not the change in itself that people are afraid of. It's why the people decide to change things that people might say, well, that's stupid. We don't need to change that. That's unnecessary.
All right. Well, geez, now all of a sudden I'm thinking about Hubig's Pies. He's talking about Dixie and Faubourg beer a little while ago. I wanted one of those. Now I want a few of the Hubig's Pies. I can't wait till I start seeing those popping up on store shelves around here again. All right. Hey, we're giving you a chance to win $1,000 every hour from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. weekdays, every hour. Get a chance to win $1,000. And your first hour today, your first opportunity today is coming up right now. Making It Rain on Bayou 95.7. Coleman in just a second is going to tell you the cash keyword. And then you just have to text that to 72881. Good luck from Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Since she became famous, I've always been in love with Gwen Stefani, the singer of No Doubt. She had some solo success, and now you see her on some different TV shows. And she's getting married. She was married to the singer of the band Bush, Gavin Rossdale, until he cheated on her with their nanny. Can you believe cheating on Gwen Stefani if you were married to her? Could you imagine cheating on her? Well, anyways, so because Gavin Rossdale cheated on her with their nanny, she divorced him. And now she's going to marry country singer Blake Shelton. Miley Cyrus said she wanted to perform at the wedding. She wanted to be the wedding band. But Gwen Stefani said, thanks, Miley, but we're going to go in a different direction. Although she's still available to play Blake Shelton's bachelor party. She might be the performance art there. We'll see what happens. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show.
Hey, John.
What's that, Coleman?
This text says, I was just wondering if John still wanted to trade all of the Saints stars, including Kamara, for Deshaun Watson.
Oh, thank you for the text. Do you see what's going on with Deshaun Watson, the quarterback of the Houston Texans?
I think before we go forward, just to clarify everything, you're on record as saying that we should, the Saints should be able to trade anybody they want for a good quarterback, whether it was Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson.
I did say that.
Okay.
And I still believe that. I mean, the Saints are looking at either Jameis Winston, or it's going to be Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. I think Winston's going to be the starter, and I think Taysom Hill is going to be in his role, maybe stepped up a little bit more. He'll be playing a little bit more than when Drew Brees was here. But I think when football season starts, Jameis Winston's going to be the starter, and Taysom Hill will be in his Taysom Hill role, maybe elevated a little bit. I had said that since Russell Wilson said that the Saints were one of three or four teams that he'd play for, they should do whatever it takes, trade whoever's on their roster that Seattle wants to get Russell Wilson. I felt the same way about Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun Watson, even though he just signed a big contract extension before last year, he wants out of Houston. He said, I do not want to play here anymore. I want out. So I'm on record saying that, yeah, I don't want to trade Alvin Kamara, but if that's what it took to get either Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson as the quarterback of the Saints, I would have done it. Well, do you see what's going on with Deshaun Watson in Houston? A 14th woman has now lined up with the same lawyer, by the way. 14 women are saying Deshaun Watson sexually assaulted them. All of these women work in massage parlors. And they all say basically the same thing, that when Deshaun Watson was getting a massage, that he touched them with his penis. And we talked about this a little bit last week, and I said, well, why are these women going to lawyers and not calling the cops? Why? Because if Deshaun Watson touched me with his penis, I'd call the cops. So you got all of these different massage therapists now. And again, they have the same lawyer. There's 14 lawsuits, 24 accusers. So you've got 24 different women. They've all got the same lawyer. And they're going after Deshaun Watson.
Well, John.
Now, I just want to say one more thing.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell's going on here. I have no idea. I do know he demanded a trade. This lawyer could be a big-time Houston Texans fan and is pissed off that this quarterback, who they just gave all this money to, is demanding a trade. Now, look, I don't know. I don't know. I know nothing. All I know about Deshaun Watson is he is a really, really, really good NFL quarterback. He's really, really good. I know nothing else about this man.
I would say that if Deshaun Watson had touched you with his penis and you called the police, there's no money in that. You don't get anything for that. The cops come right in, they arrest them, then you go to court. However, if you go to a lawyer and you get part of a lawsuit or a class action lawsuit, maybe there's some kind of a compensation that you may get for Deshaun Watson touching you with his penis.
Well, none of these women went to the police. And what's incredible is that there are now 24 accusers. The lawsuits are up to 14. And they all have the same lawyer. Doesn't that look a little bit suspicious to you?
It is kind of sketchy, but I think a pattern could be established if it's all masseuses saying this. That might be his thing. That might be his thing, going to a massage parlor and paying for the deluxe undercarriage wash or whatever. That might be his deal.
The lawyer's name is Tony Busby. And again, I have no idea what to believe. The media, the quote-unquote woke media, they're not talking about this because they don't know. They're all victims. Well, the women, you got to stand up for the women. You got to believe all women. But here's a black NFL quarterback, and you know, he's a victim too because he's a black guy in America. So the media, the woke media, doesn't know. They're not talking about this because they have no idea. Their heads are banging up against each other's. Okay. But this is a story now. To me, this lawyer looks shady. Again, I know nothing about Deshaun Watson except for what he does on the football field. And boy, I would love to see him playing for the Saints. We got to keep him out of massage parlors, I guess, if he does come here. But to answer your question, Texter, I have, as an NFL quarterback on the field, yeah, I still would love to see Deshaun Watson here. I don't know what's going on with these 24 accusers, the 14 lawsuits against him, and all of these women evidently work in massage parlors, and none of them went to the police. They all went to one lawyer. It's not, they don't even have their own lawyers. They all went to one lawyer. That's what makes this look very shady. But I would still love to see him play quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Just keep him out of the massage parlors around here. All right, coming up next. The first city in the United States is giving reparations. Reparations. We're going to tell you all about it coming up next. This is the first city that this is happening in, and some are saying that this is going to happen all over the country. Coleman, I asked you earlier, because you're a black guy, you don't want reparations, right?
I mean, if they're going to give it to me, I don't have to do anything for it. I'll take it, but I'm not going to go out of my way. I'm not going to sign any forms or give them no information. If it just pops up in my mailbox, hey, all right, I'll take it. But I don't need it, though.
You're one of the hardest working guys I know.
I know.
You work two jobs, and you say you don't mind working for a living.
Right. I prefer to earn it. Yeah.
All right, stay tuned. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And if you're a part of our radio station's Facebook page, check it out. We're going live with this break on the Bayou 95.7 Facebook page. Hey, it's good to see you over there. What's up? So I saw this story and I knew that pretty much everybody would have an opinion on this story. For the first time in the history of our country, an American city has voted, well, at least their political leaders have voted, to pay reparations for their black residents. The city council in Evanston, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago, they voted last night, 8-1, to approve a plan to make reparations available to black residents over past discrimination and the lingering effects of slavery. The plan, which could be the first of its kind in the United States, what they want to do is pay $10 million over the next 10 years to black residents. But they want to start it out by distributing $400,000 to eligible black households. The Associated Press reported that qualifying households in the city of Evanston, Illinois, which has about 73,000 people living there, would be eligible to receive $25,000 for home repairs or down payments on property. So this is how they would start with reparations. And if you're wondering where the money is coming from, the funding for this program will come from the 3% tax on the sale of recreational marijuana and donations. So anybody can donate. The city of Evanston, Illinois wants to spend $10 million over the next 10 years for reparations. How do you feel about that? Now, Coleman, who's the engineer and the producer of this radio show, happens to be black. Coleman, how do you feel about this?
Well, I don't think personally, I don't think I deserve reparations simply because of my past or simply because I'm black. And I know there was a whole deal before I was born about, you know, every black person gets 40 acres and a mule. That didn't pan out and now we're over it, I guess. But I don't need it. But once again, like based on the story, I think there's certain qualifiers. It says here, like, they're only giving it to people that are a direct descendant or of a black person that lived in Evanston between 1919 and 1969. So to clarify, they're not just giving out reparations all willy-nilly. It's not like just because you're black, you're getting reparations. There's just simple, there's a qualifier saying that if you're a black person living in Evanston between 1919 and 1969, yeah, you're eligible. And it's if it's donated money and it's in-house, I don't have a problem with their doing in Evanston. You get it? Like, as long as if they agree to it, it's their city. It's not federal. You know, it's their own money. And
although the president, Joe Biden, likes this.
Of course he does.
President Joe Biden, he has signaled support for this. And you did bring up the fact that qualifying residents must either have lived in or been a direct descendant of a black person who lived in Evanston, Illinois between 1919 and 1969 and who suffered discrimination in housing because of city ordinances, policies, or practices.
See, that's what I mean. I don't have a problem with this particular situation because it seems in-house. It seems like it's something that happened within that city, and that city is taking measures to right or wrong within their city limits. It's not federal. None of my tax dollars is going towards this. If it's in-house, I don't have a problem with it. Overall, like a federal mandate, reparations, all black people that descendants of slaves gets this money or whatever, I guess it's so many variables involved. You know, like, how do you determine who was a descendant of a slave, or is it just all black people whatsoever? And like one of our texters says, I'm Native American, what about our reparations? Like, there's so many variables that go into this that at this point, I get that it's meant with good intentions, but to actually execute it, I think the execution would be worse than what they're trying to write, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and look, there's no doubt that black people, along with Native Americans, back in the day, got the screws in this country. There's no doubt about that. But here we sit in the year 2021, and white Americans who are alive today and waking up every day and going to work every day, we had nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with the mistreatment of other people in this country. You've got to go back generations. But there are a lot of Americans who feel that we owe black Americans, Native Americans, that we owe them something.
What about the Irish?
Well, wait, Irish need not apply. Irish need not apply. Remember those signs?
Not
I know. Now, who were treated worse than the Irish when they first came over here at the turn of the century?
And that's when we get into the morality of it and the fairness of it. Like, I don't think there's no logical way we can execute end-all, be-all reparations for all the discriminated people, descendants of slaves or descendants of, you know, people that have been treated harshly in the United States history. There's no way we can possibly do it without some sort of hiccup. But the intentions are good. I give them that, but yeah.
How do you feel? You could text us at 504-260-9595. I mean, do you think that Black Americans, Native Americans are owed something, are owed money now for how they were treated way back when? Do you
see, I wasn't around back then. I don't feel like anybody owes me anything. I'd rather work for what I want. I'd rather earn my living. And I get that my family comes from, you know, a horrible past. But as we sit here today in 2021, I'm over it. I mean, we have so many Black successful millionaires that right now there's nothing stopping me from achieving my goals. However, let's say they do pass reparations or whatever, and a check goes into my mail. I'm not going to not take it. I'm just saying I'm not asking for it. I'm not going out and going out of my way to get it. If it pops up in my mailbox, I'll deposit it, but I'm not looking for it, if that makes sense.
And Black people do better in the United States than in any other country on the planet. That's a fact. Text us. Let us know how you feel about this. If you're watching on Facebook Live, let us know how you feel about it. Comment down below. Last night, the city of Evanston, Illinois, became the first in the United States of America to, their city council voted in reparations. Reparations. And the funding for the program will come from the 3% tax on the sale of recreational marijuana and donations. So any rich person who's feeling guilty, they can donate as much as they want to who they want. They can do that. So comment, text us. I want to get your reaction on this. And right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win $1,000. Making it rain here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. If you're just joining us, we were talking about last night, the Evanston, Illinois City Council voted for reparations. They're the first city in America that want to pay Black people for all the hell that they went through years and years and years and years and years ago. And we asked you to text us your thoughts on that.
This first text says, give a blank stimulus check of $8,000 per Black person / Native American families and be done with it. Fresh start, clean slate.
Because we brought up the Native American situation. I mean, if you're gonna play Black people, what about the Native Americans?
That's pretty much what most of the texts are. Like, what about the Irish? This text says,
Irish need not apply. I've seen those signs everywhere. Irish need not apply.
This text says, I had a female ancestor who was in jail in England, put on a boat, and sold in New York. So I have a white slave ancestor.
Interesting.
This text says, throughout history, every race has been enslaved, and it isn't about color. It's about money. So let's ask the Romans for reparations, JB. And I think that's the misconception. The reason reparations comes up in America is because there was supposed to be a government contract to give all Black people 40 acres and a mule as reparations for Black people. That's why we harp on the reparations in America. It's not like a trivial idea that applied to every country and every culture on earth. That's why it's sort of like the government said they was going to do something and they reneged on it. And now we're just banging on the government's door. Hey, where's our 40 acres and a mule? But to be honest with you, I wouldn't know what to do if I had 40 acres in a mule. I'd rather the cash. If you're going to give me something, give me the cash. But once again,
I know what to do with the 40 acres. What the hell are you going to do with a mule, though? hey, can you imagine, from what our last texter just said, here in the year 2021, Americans going over to Rome saying, hey, pay up! Pay up! The people in Rome, they'd be like, Madonna mia. They wouldn't know what to do. Thank you for the text. We always appreciate your contribution to our radio show. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. It's about a father that won't be getting any Father of the Year awards after what he did with his child. Wait till you hear this. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, and it's that time of our gig where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man arrested after taking his toddler into an elephant enclosure at the San Diego Zoo. Coleman, I've been to the San Diego Zoo.
I have not.
It's a big-ass zoo. Now, look, I love our zoo here uptown in New Orleans. I love Audubon. But a visitor the other day at the San Diego Zoo was arrested shortly after taking his two-year-old daughter into an elephant enclosure. 25-year-old Jose Navarrete.
You idiot.
Made it into the elephant enclosure with his daughter after passing multiple barriers. That's the question I had. I mean, it's one thing if a 25-year-old dude wants to be an idiot and jump the fence, whatever, run into an elephant enclosure at the zoo. But he's got his two-year-old with him.
It's probably the two-year-old's idea. Daddy, take me closer so I can see the elephants.
Once the father and daughter were inside the enclosure, an elephant noticed the pair and started to trot towards them. When Navarrete tried to exit the enclosure with his two-year-old, he dropped her, but was able to pick her up. Quote, there were no injuries to the father, to his daughter, or to the elephant, according to the press release.
Well, good thing the elephant didn't get harambe'd.
Navarrete was booked into the San Diego County Jail. He is charged with child cruelty and is currently being held on $100,000 bail. That's a lot of elephant food. Let me ask you something.
Okay.
You've got a two-year-old. You've got your two-year-old in your arms inside the elephant enclosure in the San Diego Zoo. As you're leaving the enclosure, you drop your two-year-old. Would that be another form of dropping a deuce?
Ah, because she's two. I see. Ah, good one.
I almost dropped a deuce reading this story. How do you bring a two-year-old into an elephant enclosure in a zoo?
I still maintain it was probably the two-year-old's idea, and the daddy was just trying to be a good daddy.
You might be onto something there, Coleman. Anyways, the man who was arrested for taking his two-year-old into an elephant enclosure at the San Diego Zoo, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.